than any brother. I heard that he's a mother when mother's gone, when he's a father when father's gone, and now I want to know. I'm reminded, amen. They celebrated at the fact that God had already done something. And look, they feasted, not how they wanted to, but they feasted as God had commanded them to. They feasted on the day that God said do the feast. They had a party on the day God said party. Wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, they celebrated what God had done. And they wasn't celebrating what they'd done. They celebrated what God had done. Because, you know, we do a whole bunch of stuff that we celebrate. But we need to celebrate what God has done. Give him the glory. Amen. And so they feasted as they were commanded. They celebrated. And look at this. And where they celebrated at, they were in the plain of Jericho. In other words, they were getting ready to go to Jericho, which was going to be their greatest victory. It was going to be a victory that God was going to give them. All they had to do was march around the walls. And we heard the story of Jericho. And the walls fell down flat. We used to hear the walls came tumbling down. No, they just fell flat. They didn't break up. God just opened the walls up and let them fall down, and they were able to get victory. Amen? What I'm trying to say now is that you need to be able to celebrate before the battle. Yeah. Help me, Holy Ghost, to preach it. He said we need to celebrate. Why? Why do we need to celebrate? Celebrate before the battle because we already know that we have the victory. Yeah. And so because of their celebration before the battle, God was able to give them victory. They were able to obey. He said, Joshua, tell them to walk around the wall every day one time and don't say a word. They walked around, not even a baby cried. They walked around the wall seven times and nobody said a word. 7 days in a row. On the seventh day, they went seven times around the wall and the walls came down. But before they got to the place of having victory and seeing it, they knew they had victory and celebrated. Do I have anybody here that realize that this battle is the Lord's and it's not yours, and that we have this victory, victory in Christ Jesus, and we ought to celebrate the victory before we even fight? What do you think in the Old West, and I'm one that I love to watch Westerns, but in the Old West, you'd see that the Native Americans, they would always have a war party. Why? Because they were saying, we got victory regardless. We're going to celebrate regardless of what happened. We're going to have a good time before we fight this battle. And they would keep the pioneers that were going out west, they would be up all night worrying about whether they were going to be able to survive. But guess what the Indians were saying, or the Native Americans were saying, that we have this victory. And so if they had that kind of confidence in themselves and in their flesh, how much more should we have confidence that God has given us victory? Are y'all awake on me today, or y'all asleep? How many of us in here realize that if I celebrate, don't wait till the battle is over? You ought to shout now. You need to be able to lift up your voice and say, thank you, Lord, that I have this victory. Jesus said, I've already overcome the world. And so since he's overcome the world, I'm in him. That means I overcome the world too. We got to realize that there's a spirit of the world and there's a spirit of God. I don't want the spirit of the world, but I want the spirit of God, because his spirit gives me victory. His spirit gives me joy. I wish I had somebody. His spirit causes me to overcome. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Can I preach to somebody today and let you know that you don't have to worry if you can celebrate? But most of us, we don't celebrate. We wonder and wonder, just like the children of Israel. They had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 long years. They were wanderers, and they wondered, could they make it? They wondered, was God going to do it? They wondered, and sometimes that's where we are. We are in a wilderness. And we're wondering if God is going to do it. And God is saying, celebrate while you're in the wilderness. Celebrate before you get it, because I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to, oh, come on and say, man, he's my provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. Come on and say hallelujah. We need to know that my God will supply all your needs.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all I do. Why don't you touch two or three people and tell them, my greater is coming. Touch two or three people and tell them, my greater is coming. My greater is coming. Woo, glory.
Greater is coming. Your greater is coming. Greater is coming. Yeah.
Greater is coming.
Your greater is coming, but you've got to be willing to go through in order to get to your greater. Yeah, yeah, he felt a shaking, a beating, a pressing. You got to go through some stuff. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. And can I tell you, the tougher it is, the bigger and better the blessing is on the other side. Some of you been wondering how long you'll be in what you're going through, but I've got news for you asking the wrong question. The right question is, Lord, how big is all that you have for me is? How much greater is that's coming to me than what I'm going through is? Hallelujah. You ain't excited about that. You need to check your pulse. Matter of fact, have somebody else check your pulse. Huh? See if you're still on the land of the living. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Gracious God, our Father, thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. We thank you for your word now. Speak through the text to our hearts. Minister to us right where we are. In right that which we now experience. Meet us in this place. Give us principles to practice that we may profit from them and move to the place you'll have us to be. Show us the way. And then, God, empower us to walk in these principles so that we might give you the praise
as you bless us and give us the profit. We thank you in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, and we want to lift out verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. This is a very familiar verse, and we want to begin it today as we start embarking upon this issue that I really believe with all my heart God wants us to get in our spirit. Because when we understand this verse, our worlds will begin to change. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to talk about the wonders of wisdom. The wonders of wisdom. My brothers and my sisters, one of the things that Solomon is speaking about this issue of wisdom, and he's speaking in every chapter leading up to this fourth chapter about knowledge, about wisdom, about understanding, from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4. He's dealing with this issue of wisdom and knowledge and understanding because of what he himself had experienced. Solomon, the son of David, who at a young age, 17 it is supposed, went to God in prayer, made a sacrifice. The sacrifice was one lamb, one house. And Solomon made a sacrifice of 1,000. And he went to God, and he didn't ask God for riches. He didn't ask God for long life. He asked God for an understanding heart.
That's right. That's right.
To judge, to lead the people of God. And God said, because you didn't ask for stuff, but you asked for the most important thing, I'm going to give you more stuff than I've given any man. Now, here is a point, because I want you to understand this. We very much may be asking God for the things that are not the best gifts. We might not be asking him for God's best. We're settling. We are down in a place of priority, asking God for things that God would desire us to ask greater for. But because we spend our time on our needs, then our petitions are connected with those needs. Amen. And so when you begin to understand, Solomon is trying to make clear, because if we get this point, why is wisdom so important? Well, wisdom is the key, the link between where you are and where you want to be. If we will discover the power and the wonders of wisdom, if you've got a money problem, you'll think you need to change jobs. But the truth is, you've got a wisdom problem. If you're having a marital problem, you think you need to change mates. But the truth is, you've got a wisdom problem. If you're having church problems, you think you need to go to another. But the problem is, you've got a wisdom problem. Listen, wisdom offers the answer to everything. Now, there are some things that we have done that's put us in holes and put us in traps and put us in dungeons and jails and prisons, both in our own minds and in reality, because we didn't have proper wisdom. And so wisdom is the primary thing. Wisdom is the main thing. Wisdom is the main ingredient. Why is that so important? Because if your wisdom changes, your destiny changes. Your life changes. Everything about you change. That's why the devil does not want you to know the word of God, so that you can have what God wants you to have, because wisdom is not only knowing, but doing. Listen, let's back up if you don't mind, because actually between verse 5 and 8, there are eight responsibilities we have to wisdom. If we will do these eight things, there are four great things that wisdom will do for us. Now listen to this. Verse 5 says, get wisdom. Get wisdom. That means it's my responsibility to seek out, to find wisdom. I've got to look for, I've got to read, I've got to study, I've got to hang out with folk that have wisdom and folk that know the word and folk that are going where or are where I want to go. I have got to get this wisdom. Listen, it is my responsibility to do so. You see, if I think that somebody else has made decisions for me and I'm suffering in this life because of somebody else's decisions, I'll always be bitter. Amen. I'll always be resentful. That's right. I'll always be hateful, and I'll always be cynical and hard to get along with. But if I realize it's the decisions I have made, and I can change those decisions I've made with wisdom, then I no longer have to feel like I feel. All right. Yeah, somebody else may have been a part in the decision that I made, but in the end, the decision was mine. Now, when I realize, wait a minute, I made a bad decision, and how many of us have made some bad decisions that's lasted a long time? But then how many of us have made some good decisions that's lasted an even longer time? Amen. Listen, little choices can make big differences. Little choices. You don't have to think you have to do everything at once. Just make the right choices. Get wisdom. That's my responsibility. But not only wisdom, next word says, get understanding. Understanding. What is understanding? Understanding is the operation of the wisdom that I have, or the knowledge that I have. You see, it doesn't really profit me to carry a Bible and don't understand it. Bible can be a big old 20 by 20 under my arm, and I'm walking around with it with extra large print, and can read the words but don't understand it. So if I don't understand it, what does it profit me? I will never ever get out of the products I buy everything I'm supposed to get out of it if I don't understand the instructions. I may be getting a few because I know them already, but how many are going undone? How many of you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you got smartphones that are smarter than you? And yet you can't use but a few features on that phone. You might as well get you a basic phone, because besides texting and taking pictures, you about at your limit right there. And that smartphone offers a virtual office of different things it does and services it does. But we don't know, because we've not read and understood what it does. Understand the letter U. It's been said if you take the letter U out of your vocabulary, you lose 3,000 words. Just by taking the letter U out of your vocabulary. Listen, if you take the letter U out of your vocabulary, first of all, you lose 4 days out of the week. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Am I talking to anybody in the house? And I can only imagine how many other words that have you in it somewhere that you would lose if you were taken out of your vocabulary. So understanding, the whole point I'm making is understanding is so important. If you take understanding out of everything that you do, life becomes less than fulfilling and complete. Get understanding. Otherwise, you'll never live life to the fullest. You'll never have the best. You'll never have all that God wants you to have. You'll never understand what you're dealing with, what you're going through, unless you understand the whole point and purpose of what it is and why it is God is allowing those things. Then the next word says, forget it not. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline unto the words from my mouth, or from the words from my mouth, of my mouth. Why does he say this now? He say, do not discount the words of my mouth.
Amen.
Do not act as if the words of my mouth, and this is a father talking to his son, but in a larger context, talking to the believers. Do not act like the words that he has spoken in wisdom are not worth anything. You know how when we think, you know, some people tell us something because they may be old, but they may not have education, we think they can't tell us nothing. Man, he don't know nothing. He ain't never been where I am. Hello, you ain't never been where he has been. You've never experienced some things that he's never experienced. And listen, with the right attitude, you can make up much in what you don't have in other things. The right attitude can get you to people in places that you otherwise, with all of your education, with all of your knowledge, and with all of the things that esteem you, could not get you by not having the right attitude. He says, forget not those things. So there are three things there. He says, get wisdom. Get understanding, forget not. Now the fourth thing is, neither decline from the words of my mouth. But then the fifth thing is, you don't forsake wisdom.
That's right.
But then not only do you not forsake wisdom, but the sixth thing is, you love her.
Love her.
Yes. Then when you get to the eighth verse, it tells you, you exalt her. Exalt wisdom. And then the last part of that says, you embrace her.
That's right.
Now, why are all of these important for us to know? Because they're our responsibility. You see, it's not just enough to know. You have to know and understand and implement.
Amen.
Do it. You're not wise because you know. You know a whole lot of folk that know scripture and can't interpret none of it. Can't even tell you what it really means, but they can quote them. They can go around and they can quote all of them scriptures, and you're like, woo, he know a lot, she know a lot. Now, what does that mean? Many of them are quoting them out of context because they don't really understand them. And you can always tell folk when you know that they don't know by the way they use it.
All right.
Yeah, that scripture is correct the way you quoted it, but it's totally out of context. You know, I've shared with this many times before. People don't understand, they don't know. You got the Bible. Look, let me show you the Word of God. Jesus said, in the word, and you go up to Judas went out and hanged himself.
That's right.
Go take him to another part of the word. Go do thou likewise. Really?
Yeah.
Really? You know, I mean, and folk mess us up because we don't know. And it's our responsibility to get wisdom, our responsibility to get understanding, our responsibility not to forget it, our responsibility not to decline from the words of his mouth, our responsibility not to forsake wisdom, our responsibility to love wisdom, our responsibility to exalt wisdom. Listen, wisdom, the word of God, the practicing of the knowledge that we know above every other thing. When you exalt her, there are some things that happen. And then you embrace wisdom. Too many of us are so busy embracing all of the wrong things that we miss out on the benefit of embracing wisdom. Wisdom. Listen, wisdom is the difference between what you want and what you got. You looking at some folk, I can promise you and tell you right now, those who embrace wisdom will discover how to get it and do it. And listen, there are laws, principles at work that will come into action when you practice the same reality that they practice. If you want to find out what successful folk do, then you need to study successful folk. You don't need to study lazy folk. Unless you want to learn more about being lazy. But if you really want to know about whatever area it is, you have to take it upon yourself. Now let's go to verse 7, because it says, wisdom is the principal thing. If wisdom is the principal thing, now listen to Solomon speak here. If wisdom is the principal thing, the question is, why don't we have it? If it's the main thing, if it's the foundation upon which all truth and all of our operations are based, then why aren't we wiser? He says, I don't want you to just go out and get knowledge, book sense. I don't want you to be able to say you read 2,000 books. And what did you get from them? I sped read them. Shoot. Yeah, you read 300 words in a minute and can't remember three of them. Or you read over and over and over again and still didn't get no understanding. What does it profit you? Because first of all, you start off with wisdom, but secondly, which is the knowledge and the ability to practice that, but you also get understanding. Understanding helps you to apply it when it's applicable and not when it's not. See, you don't have to say everything you know to show you're smart. Sometimes to show you're smart means to keep your mouth closed. And at other times, you can speak and remove all doubt from others' mind about how smart you really are. I really thought that fellow was smart till I heard him talk. Now I'm clear. It's a difference. Get understanding. Get understanding. If wisdom is the principal thing, listen. The word says, get it. Therefore, get it. And with all thy getting, And with all thy getting, with all of your researching, with all of your